This episode is brought to you by Rain Clothing.
That's R-A-N-E Clothing. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their roster of bands as well.
Rain Clothing, on a mission for music.
This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're going back to school. Joining us in studio is the guy I started comedy with 13 years ago now, the Dark Muppet. Fraggle, thanks for being here.
Yeah. What was that? The You Suck on Purpose show?
We Suck on Purpose. At the grog shop.
That was your guys' first show?
Yep. I figure if you're going to try out comedy for the first time, opening for a band called We Suck on Purpose, no matter how badly you...
I thought that was the name of the comedy show.
No, that was the name of the band we opened for.
Gotcha.
And they liked the name. I was talking to somebody online, and I signed my stuff, The Dark Muppet, and they're like, dude, we're so putting that on our flyers. So that's when all my stand-up comedy name became The Dark Muppet, so I can get away with being a teacher and going up on stage. And are we allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay, good.
This is internet radio, my friend.
All right, awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, like saying fuck, shit, cunt, and, you know, I think I tried to generally throw in pedophilia jokes.
Yep. But that was long ago. And since then... you've moved on to become an accomplished educator. So the big question is, Mr. Muppet, why do you hate Cleveland Public Schools?
Let's see. Cleveland Public Schools is kind of a political landmine. Let's go with that, where it's its own little thing, where they make their own laws. They make laws in Ohio for mayor-run districts. Guess how many mayor-run districts there are in Ohio?
I'm going to guess one.
One. So there is overall state laws just for mayor-run districts that allow them to envelop charter schools into their own thing. So it is a school district running its own charter schools, which is shady as fuck.
That does sound shady. How many charter schools is... Well, that's... Seems a little off.
Yeah, Breakthrough Charter Schools is actually run by Cleveland Schools.
Huh.
So, and then all of their schools that become lower test scores and all that become emergency schools. So, basically once it becomes an emergency school, it then gets put under a different charter where if you want to work at that school, the principal picks you and you have to sign something saying that you will not use the services of the union.
Wait, what? You can't use the services of the union when you're working for Cleveland Public Schools?
If you're working at one of the emergency schools, which, you know, as the schools do badly, more and more become the emergency schools.
That's ridiculous.
It's fucked up. So basically, you're sitting there at schools going, I think, because...
Somebody needs to call the guy from Lean On Me. Call Morgan Freeman, dude. He used to call me Crazy Joe.
Like, you sit there and you're just like, how can you put these people in charge of a school? Because they're just morons. Like, if you sit there and tell a principal, hey, I just passed a couple having sex in the back hallway... Maybe you should do something about it. And they go, why weren't you in your classroom?
Priorities.
Well, it was my free period. I was walking where I need to go. Mm. Actually, I was walking to lunch, and I passed a couple back there. I was letting you know they were there. Mm. I guess, you know, all we could do is what, send him to a guidance counselor to get protection, because you can get free condoms from the guidance counselor.
All right, so apparently Cleveland Public Schools doing well enough to provide free condoms.
Or just stealing them from Planned Parenthood, probably.
More than likely.
Well, you know, their numbers are getting lower, and so I guess their thought is, you know, they're making more numbers that way. These are future students. And the more they use drugs or whatever, the more that baby is not going to know any better to get out of Cleveland. Or at least the parents.
And definitely the parents.
It's amazing to me what was it? I started out at a middle, or at a K to 8, because they got rid of all their middle schools. Everything's K to 8. And there was a pregnant girl there that was a 7th grader. And when they talked about family values in one of the classrooms, she's like, well, why the fuck should I care about family values? You have a child in you. This is the perfect time to start worrying about family values.
Yeah, you would think. But so was it just was it a mixture of a district ill-equipped to deal with the problem students that, you know, inevitably come into an urban district, or were there just really bad kids?
It was a district that basically is, to me, corrupt from the top, like all these all of these CEOs, because Cleveland is run by a CEO. They keep leaving and taking lots of money. What was it? Sanders left, took a whole crap ton of money from the district, and became a adjunct professor in Hawaii.
All right.
And then decided to come back to the area, and he opened a charter school, I think, in Toledo, but I don't know what it was called. Mm. And then there's been, I think every one of their CEOs has left and took a whole bunch of money. And one of the CEOs, I remember, I think, became the head of school district, became the superintendent in Detroit or Chicago, one of the two. So apparently, you know, they don't do the Google check very quickly when they're hiring a superintendent to go, isn't this a news story saying that you stole a whole bunch of money from the district you used to work at?
Jesus Christ.
How long does the Google check take? Like, you could look up, I think it was Barbara Bird Bennett became superintendent over in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, are they really stealing it, or is it just they got a fat severance package?
No, they really, like, as in they were, they have court charges against them for taking the money or embezzling it or something like that.
I don't understand how they're able to get work when they've got a case pending.
But. What's the average salary of a teacher in Cleveland Public Schools? Yeah, that dog's going nuts the whole time.
I think it's somewhere around like 40, 45, something like that. So it's not like they're raking in the dough or anything, mm-hmm. but you have some of the teachers that have been there for years, and like I remember there was a coach that was also the gym teacher, and the way it works in the high school is when you don't have a sub, they just send your kids to the gym, mm-hmm. and then the gym teacher ends up getting coverages because you get paid for covering somebody else's class. So she was able to cover like 10 different classes because they were all just sent to the gym. And then so they were a coach. I think they were head coach, or like they were the coach person in the school, and they were a regular teacher. So she drove to school driving a very nice vehicle. Nicer than anything I could ever afford.
A gym teacher?
Yeah. Apparently gym teacher's the way to go in Cleveland, because you get all that extra money for covering classes. So
it sounds like something, like it's like a different dimension, like Earth 2 or something. Like that's what Cleveland Public Schools sounds like to me.
I mean, amazingly, the people that get frustrated, I find it really amusing when they just to fuck over the system, they just go straight to Columbus and retire that way, like at the Ohio Department of Education, they just retire through them. And then the district has no idea they retired, and the school year starts, and they're just like, I wonder where this teacher is. And it could be It could be weeks before they realize that teacher is not coming back.
That's fucking awesome, though. Like, that is, like, ultimate, like, fuck you.
And they've done everything legally.
Yeah. Good for them. Anybody who did that, like, good for you.
I mean, there's other stories about people that just fuck over the system. Like, there's so much corruption within Cleveland. Like, paraprofessionals, those teacher's aides or whatever, would go to work, sign in, and then leave to go work an hourly job and come back at the end of the day to sign out. And that's why they put in the, like, a time clock system or whatever, where, and they needed to keep track of where you were. Or, like, trainings went from, like, I did a Saturday training. I remember it went from, like, it was 8:30 to 3:37. And they had their CMSD police, because they have their own police force, policing the parking lot to make sure that no one left early.
So,
wow,
because so many people were going to the trainings, signing in, and then leaving, which technically you don't get paid anyways until you do the bubble sheet or whatever and show that you were there.
Yeah.
So, which they don't give you till the end, but it just amazes me to how unprofessional that would be, because to me, I would never think of doing that as a teacher.
Right.
Like, I mean, think about it. You're learning something you're supposed to learn to use in the classroom.
Right.
And all these people are just like, I've been here 30 like, years. What the fuck do I care?
That's, I mean, just like the whole thing just sounds fucked. Like from top to bottom, like it's just fucked.
And like administrators think it's the teacher's fault and teachers think it's the principal's fault or the people running it. It's a lot of like, people not thinking logically. And I just remember when I was working there, and that I stopped working there 2014 or whatever. Like, I remember they were going crazy trying to get test scores up because the school I was at was so low that they were afraid the state was going to take over. And
Was it already an emergency at that point? Or?
It was close, but it wasn't an emergency school, and that's why they were trying to improve test scores. And I'm sitting there going, so if the state takes over, what happens? Oh, they come through and they clean house and they get rid of everybody that's not supposed to be there. And I'm just like, why is this a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was one of the few people that had the open door policy in my classroom. I always left my door open and let whatever teacher or parents walk in and actually observe me teach. I was not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have other SPED teachers come in and ask me questions about writing IEPs, and somehow became the department head by accident because I got an email because I had been transferred so many different schools. I was still on somebody else's list, so I got an email about that we were supposed to do something differently. And so I was like, I should forward this to everybody. And so I forwarded it to everybody, and they're like, oh my God, how do we do this? Because it was like writing progress reports differently or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, well, I don't know, but I guess we could do a training together and figure it out. And so I planned out a training for special ed. I just remember that whole year was crazier and crazier because we became the department head by accident because the job didn't exist anymore. And then we had so many problems that the head of the union came in to talk to us about the problems, and the principal escorted the head of the union and told us we were having an illegal gathering.
Wow.
Wait. How was it an illegal gathering?
Because
there was no juggalos there.
The union person that came in was not an employee of that particular school, and I did not go through her, the principal, to schedule the meeting.
But don't
and I was
you guys
like,
all work under the same fucking umbrella?
Yes.
Then what does it fucking matter?
Like, what I love is the custodian was standing with the principal when she was
like
doing
a security
this
guard.
Well, no, because she went and grabbed the custodian like and came up to us and said, this is an illegal gathering. You can't have a gathering like this in the school without, you know, first getting approval through me or the district. And we were all school employees, so we were really confused. And the custodian's just standing there, and I talked to him about it like a week or two later, and he's just like, I had no idea that's what she was going to do.
Hmm.
Like, she just asked me to walk with her. And I'm just like, you didn't look surprised when this was all happening. He's like, no, I just was told to walk with her. So I don't know if he was acting like security, but he had no idea what was going on. The poor guy. Like, I thought, like, I'm looking at the custodian, like, thinking this was something brought to, or he brought to her attention, but it was just kind of, she just dragged him along. Hmm. Like, the other things, I just remember, like, I did my principal internship in this school. I've gotten way too specific. They're going to figure out who I am.
I think you'll be fine.
But I did my principal internship in the school, but I had to get permission from the principal to do it. And she hated me because the year before, when we got the new progress reports, none of the teachers knew they were supposed to do it a certain way. And when they weren't done, she decided to do a fact-finding on all of special ed, like all 30 or so teachers in the building. Fact-finding is when they go and look for you doing something wrong.
Okay.
And I said,
fact-finding.
That's what they call it, a fact-finding, because they're going to look into. But the thing is, before you do a fact-finding hearing, before you say we're going to do this hearing, you're supposed to have the facts. And she announced that she's doing this hearing for everybody, all 30 teachers, and then started asking everybody if they did their progress reports. I'm like, wait, so you tried writing everybody up for not doing their progress reports before you asked everyone if they did their progress reports? And so I told the teachers, don't tell her anything. She was supposed to do this in the first place before she started doing paperwork against you guys. And she got mad.
Yeah.
She's just like, why are you talking against me? I'm like, I'm not. I'm helping defend the teachers. You're doing a fact-finding against them without actually having any facts. Mm. You're supposed to do the facts first before you write them up.
Mm.
And she's like, you need to decide if you're going to be a teacher or an administrator. And to me, you seem too much like a teacher, so you can't do your internship here. And I was like, but you already said I could. And I told my college I could. And so I had to go up to the CEO of the school district. And all of a sudden, because I went to the superintendent, it goes principal, area superintendent, CEO.
Wow.
And, wow. The area CEO was a principal I had in the past, and he hated me because I think I was white, and I'm still white, but I think that's why he hated me, was I was a white person, because I couldn't figure out at all. Like, I love that this guy came in the first day I was in the school and said his goal was to get out of this building. His all goal right. was to move up in the ladder, and he's going to use this school to do it. And I'm just like, that is an interesting way to meet you.
Yeah.
Like, you've basically told us you have no desire to be here whatsoever.
Yeah. You're going to be fun to work with, buddy.
He was never there, though, and the assistant principal is the one that actually did my evaluation that year. And that assistant principal, I just love that she came out of, I don't know, Olmsted Falls or something, and would come up to me and just like, you know, I remember I did a lesson like yours. And, when I did it, we had a smart board, and so when the kids came up with ideas of what we talked about, I wrote it on the board, and then it turned into type on the board, and the kids loved it. They felt like they had a part in the lesson. So you could do something like that. I was like, we have smart boards? Well, no, but I would like to see something like that in your classroom.
So
I don't have money to buy it myself.
Now, is that expected for you to chip in towards the technology in your own classroom, or...?
When I worked at one school, there was, it was John Marshall, and they were about to tear it down. So there was, I think, 4 projectors in the building.
4.
Total. And the teachers that had them kept them because they used them every day. So I had the great idea to hook my computer up to, the TVs nobody used, the old TVs, you know, on the little carts that you roll. So I hooked my computer up to that, but apparently it's really hard to read a PowerPoint on a TV.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Still tried it, though.
Yeah.
And then, so eventually I bought my own projector off of eBay, and I had to, I had unlimited data on my phone, so I would hook my phone up to my computer so I could get on the internet, and then I had my own projector and screen and everything, so I could do my lessons.
Wait, so there was no Wi-Fi?
No. It was all about that they were about to tear down this school, so they weren't going to put any money into it, but they were about to tear down the school.
But you're still supposed to be teaching children. Right.
Like, it was... Because when they first announced that they were going to tear down the school, they were like, but it's a historical landmark, and they were fighting tearing it down.
It's still there, right?
They put a new building there.
Oh, so, like, okay.
It's a difference of either tearing it down and building something brand new or fixing up the old building. It costs way more to fix up the old building. Hmm. And you have to go through and, like, I don't know, wash out the asbestos and stuff, which is another school I worked at. I heard that they actually, like, had a big hose, and they washed it all down into the basement, which was where the track used to be. Obviously, they don't use that anymore because it's filled with asbestos. But they still store old books there because you can't throw out the old textbooks. If you go into, it's amazing going into the storage rooms and finding years and years worth of old textbooks. It's a history lesson right there.
What are they supposed to do with these books?
I don't know, but apparently, I guess since the state paid for them, they have to keep them.
Hmm.
And I think my favorite was in my classroom. I didn't realize at the one school that they were about to tear down, there was art on the wall, and someone had stuck a poster on top of it, and it was apparently out of it was paid for through like 1929, the stock market crash, when they were trying to put everything back together. There was a big thing about whatever his points were, that they gave money to artists to make art okay. for schools. So it was a very historical piece of art that someone just taped a poster onto. And I was just like, this is actually kind of an awesome piece of art. And I sat there going, I wonder if I should just walk out with it. Because they're tearing the school down anyways. Would they know?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, there was a couple pieces of artwork on the walls that they probably were there since the 30s, and they were pretty awesome. And I stuck them in a storage room in that building because there was someone in charge of the historical society of the building. And so I was like, fine, I won't walk out with things. I mean, I did like the pull-down maps I had in the classroom because it was an old social studies classroom, and I pulled down one of the maps. And because we were talking about, I think it was World War II in Germany. And I was showing them Germany on the map, and the map was split, you know, West Germany and East Germany.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, this kind of ruins the end of the war for you guys. They do eventually split.
Yeah.
And it's not modern because they're back together now. So this map does not help at all. Whatsoever, but it's kind of awesome that it's on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, this is how long it's been since they've looked at the things on these walls. That had to have been, what, since it was the Berlin Wall, it was, what, the 80s, yeah. 90s? Yeah. So that's how long since they got new products on the walls.
With plenty of new textbooks.
Well, and apparently there was something like back in the 70s where they had a big thing about textbooks, and that's why when you look in school libraries, there's, you know, piles of old books from the 70s, because at one point they wanted to fill all the school libraries, and then the funding went away. So that's why when we looked through the old textbooks when we were kids, they were all from like the 70s and 60s, because that's when they got funded for books.
Huh.
Unless you went to a rich district like somebody.
Yeah. You're looking at me. Yes, I went to a rich district. That is not a secret. You know, it is not a secret shame. It is a very public shame that I come from privilege.
That's why you had to start doing drugs and everything, so you could show that you could be poor like the man.
Yes, that's exactly it. I decided, you know,
poor
what?
Like the man is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah, come on, Fraggle. You're a teacher.
No, it's all very interesting, though.
Interesting. No, I went to Orange, which, you know, if for those of you out there in the listening audience not from the Northeast Ohio area, Orange is located a little bit east of Cleveland, but not East Cleveland. It's south of that.
I don't want to be in East Cleveland.
Yeah. But it is notoriously wealthy because it encompasses three of the richest cities in the Northeast Ohio area. And the Orange School District produced Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live and a couple other famous people that aren't
I didn't know that's where she was from.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, I knew she was from Cleveland, but I didn't know.
The one school I worked at in Cleveland produced Drew Carey, so.
Oh.
Parma?
I don't know. They had Drew Carey on the wall of Rhodes High School, so.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Not that that means anything, because I can't remember how many different schools I've been to and worked in where they would have Halle Berry on the wall or LeBron James. And I'm just like, he's not from Cleveland.
No, I drove.
I did get amazed at how quickly people forgave him for when he left. And he was, they did all this stuff of how he's an asshole and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
I think everybody called that, though, like, within a, like, when everybody thought he was coming back, at first they're all like, yep, it's okay, it's fine, he's coming back. And especially now that he's won a championship, they're never going to fucking do anything to that guy.
Now apparently the Cavs suck, is that right?
No. Oh, okay. No.
I don't know, I thought they were losing games. Yeah, I don't know, I don't speak sports. It's very annoying in schools, too, when you're a teacher and they try to speak sports to you, and you just go, yeah, go team.
Mm.
I actually had the plan of what I need to get a banner for the Cleveland Force and the Cleveland Crunch and the Rockers and just every failed.
The Rockers.
The Lumberjacks. Aren't they something now?
The Cleveland Barons. The Lumberjacks. There's
the Lake Erie Monsters now.
Okay.
Cleveland Monsters now.
Oh, yeah, that's they right. Changed they changed the it from Lake Erie to Cleveland.
Yep.
But I mean, I do have my Force jersey. I just, you know, I realized when I looked really cool wearing it when I was, you know, skinny twig, and now that I have this, that's all that it shows off is the belly, and it just looks sad.
You have lost more of the belly since last I saw you. So
I look like some Arab that should be running it. Oh wait, I just went. I went asshole, didn't I?
You did, but that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's more, remember, it's like with Jew, it's in the way that you say it. Same with Arab. If it's Arab, you're an asshole.
Oh my God, the last place I worked was amazing because every student going there seemed like we're Palestinian.
Okay.
And were amazed to hear that I was Jewish.
Oh.
And they were wearing shirts to advertise bringing back or taking over Palestine. And I was just like, not sure how to react to this because I am their teacher, but essentially I tell them frequently that I don't give a shit about Palestine or Israel because it's just a plot of land that a lot of people are fighting over, and I don't understand why Arabs would have to own the land over Jews, and like, why can't they all just live there and have a different religious
spot? I would not
want
to explain that to fucking high school kids.
No.
I mean, I can't remember the comedy club we went to the one time where the waitress came up to me and I mentioned I just came back from Israel, and she's like, oh, my boyfriend's from Palestine and we want to go back there. And I'm just like, and I won't say anything because you have my drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was probably in Youngstown.
No, that was no, I know where it was because it was downtown.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That was going back when we were going to the improv all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
So, you worked at Rhodes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, like, not far from where I live. Which, like, that's interesting because I go by there sometimes.
Just, I worked at, should I give the, I don't know
yeah,
if I should give
I don't know yeah. if you want to give too but, many away, yeah. but.
I worked at a whole bunch of different Cleveland schools, and, you know, because Cleveland will just throw you all over the place. And what
is that, like, yearly? Like, okay, one year you're here, one year you're here?
Oh, yeah, and what I love is, you know, at the end of the school year, they'll go, this is your schedule for the next school year. And then they, at the day before the school year starts, they go, all right, here's your new schedule. This is completely different. Like, I went from teaching math the entire day, and now I'm teaching English and science. I don't understand, like, and the whole point to that, at least I thought the point to having summers off is that you could prepare for the next school year, but there's no way to prepare for the next school year when they're gonna give you a whole new schedule.
So just the day a vacation every year.
Yeah. That's why I the first year I worked there, I spent the whole summer like trying to get everything together, get ready for the next school year, blah blah blah, and then I sat there and went, well, that was pointless. It's a whole lot of work for no reason.
Now, do you find that this problem is for everybody in the district, or was it specifically for the special ed department?
Well, special ed department is kind of the ugly stepchild in the whole thing, because they will sit there, and it's another thing I heard all the time when, you know, the students in my math class actually need time to work with the new calculators for OGT testing, Ohio graduation test.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're the ones that need more time with them, and so I would go and I would ask the math department, hey, can I get a set of calculators to use in my classroom? And they would say, well, let me take care of all of my kids and all the regular kids, and then whatever we have left over, we'll give to you.
That doesn't make any sense.
Especially when the majority of money from Cleveland is coming from special ed students, because you get paid by the state by student, and so however many students you have enrolled is what you get paid. But it adds out to, like, you get double or triple a sped kid. So you would think you would take better care of the special ed kids, because that's where all the money's coming from. And, you know, like, you've got 30 special ed teachers in the building, and I was the first person to come up with the great idea of, shouldn't we all, like, kind of be teaching one subject instead of all four subjects, because it would make it a little bit easier?
That seems to make sense. What was the objection?
It's a lot of work to make a schedule and not just throw the teachers in where you need them.
Oh. I mean, administrators don't want to administrate?
Basically. Mm. And it became worse when I started becoming an administrator, because then the administrators didn't like that I knew what I was talking about.
Right.
Because I just sat there going, I always wondered, like, that's the reason I started going to school. My big thought was, what the hell do they do in that office all day?
Hmm.
Because I was hearing stories from people saying that the principal was in her office with a male student doing his hair the whole day, braiding his hair, and I was just like, that can't be real. There's so many stories you hear about, though. Like, one person told me about, there was a principal that at night would go around to all the different classrooms and organize their desks. Like, if they had a mess on their desk, they would pile everything up nicely and move things around in classrooms and things like that at night.
Why?
No idea.
Hmm.
But it's so, like, all these stories you hear about stuff that happened in the past, and I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get to do any of it. Or that, like, signing in and leaving never occurred to me.
Yeah.
Like, going in and messing with everybody's classroom never occurred to me, because... If their classroom runs, why would I mess with it?
Yeah. I don't understand that.
I should have learned something like that first day. I think I started in Cleveland. My supervisor, sped supervisor, came up to me in the building and was just like, you should get out.
Hmm.
What do you mean? You're not going to like it here. You should get out now. That was the first day.
And that's your boss?
It was special ed liaison in the job I ended up doing later in a different school.
Gotcha.
But it was her job in that school, and so she was giving me the tour. And then, you know, I liked her because she was one of the other teachers that smoked, and those are the teachers I get along with well, the ones that we will have cigarette breaks together.
Yeah.
I mean, teachers don't smoke.
No, they don't.
Never.
Yeah. Don't be bumming squares off your teachers, fam.
Like, I'm sorry, even if a student is 18 and could legally smoke, like, the fact that they would ask to bum cigarettes from me, I would still have to sit there and say, no, it's not appropriate in any way. I know you can legally smoke, but I don't give a shit. I'm not losing my job.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I started out as a substitute teacher, and in Cleveland Heights, you know, where Coventry is, where I also grew up hanging out. So it's very weird walking through the hallway and a girl I knew from Coventry comes speeding through the halls and jumping up and giving me a hug. And I'm like, this, that can't be appropriate.
Yeah.
And it was, it's the four limb hug that she gave me.
Yeah.
That can't look appropriate.
Right. At all.
I mean, but then I also had a student that, you know, volunteered at the haunt with me, and that was weird because she would yell in the hallway, "I'll see you tonight," and I was just like,
"No."
She volunteers with me at this place. That's all. You don't yell that stuff in the hallway. You just don't.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Seeing a teacher where you're not supposed to stories was a buddy of mine saw a math teacher at high school, his high school, at a fetish ball.
That was my story too.
Was it your story? No, I thought it was someone else's.
No, because that's how I started teaching. Was I ran into somebody's parents, or a friend of mine from Coventry. Their parents were at the fetish ball, and we were talking about school, or I was talking about, you know, the stuff I like doing. And she's like, you know, you should be a substitute paraprofessional. And she gave me her information, and I used her as a recommendation to get a job as a paraprofessional in the district. And I met her at a fetish ball, and she was also the parent of someone I knew from Coventry. Whose name I won't say.
Yeah.
Or I could say. I don't know if anyone would even care.
No, it's, you know... If
I've been way too someone's gonna figure out my stories because I don't have new stories. Well, I do, but
yeah,
these are my old Cleveland stories.
Good old Cleveland. How much of the corruption do you think has been fixed, or is it just a problem that's gonna remain until
the state takes over? I believe it's still going. I had a friend that started teaching in the district. And a few months in, I don't even think that far, but her paraprofessional was like throwing the students around. And so she had the paraprofessional written up. And then a paraprofessional that was friends with that paraprofessional started working with her and had the teacher written up for the same thing.
For throwing the students around?
Yes. Even though that's something I know that teacher would never do anything like that. But she spent a while in teacher jail, which is a fun thing.
What is teacher jail?
Teacher jail is if you are put up on charges for something like child abuse or something like that, while they are figuring it out, they can't fire you, but they can't have you in the classroom, and it takes months. So they just keep paying you to sit in their offices downtown.
So you go downtown and do nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. You play on your cell phone, and it's free Wi-Fi, so... And they pay you to sit there.
Why wouldn't they just pay you to fucking sit at home, then? What's the
difference? Well, that's what happened with me, was I got paid... I got reassigned to home when they tried getting me for child abuse, but... because I had a student attack me, and I had to restrain them, and... then I won the court case outright, and it took 2 or 3 years, but I was getting paid to sit at home.
Yeah,
that's why I became a diabetic, because I, you know, spent all my time worrying and eating and sitting at home. Like, what the hell? Because that's the type of thing that's going to ruin your career
and
your whole life if you get found guilty with that. So, and I won the case outright, but it had to go through all of those levels of, because before it went to an actual court case, or arbitration is right below court. It's not real court. It's an arbitrator comes in from another state that, you know, has nothing to do with anything. So it goes principal, superintendent, legal department, arbitration. And it went through all those steps, and they were saying that I was a horrible person and did all this stuff, and it had to go to the arbitrator, who looked at their evidence and basically figured out there's no evidence here.
Right.
Like, whatsoever. They based everything on my paraprofessional said that she didn't like the way I acted in the classroom. And there was screaming. And, like, the paraprofessional didn't really see anything. She ran out of the room as soon as, like, the paraprofessional was in the classroom and the thing happened in the hallway, but she ran to the office because she hated it in that classroom anyway, so was always looking for an excuse to get out. And so she complained about the classroom and then connected it to this incident, which she didn't see, and that's what all their evidence was based on, you know? And the account from me and from the student were exactly the same of, you know, he was mad and I had to, and he swung at me and I had to take him down. And had they let me actually talk to him afterwards, it would have been done with. And they actually, that's a big problem in Cleveland in general now, is if there's fights and things like that, they tell you, don't do anything, get out of it. So, like, you walk up to a fight and you see, like, someone just beating the crap out of another person, and you go, guys, you should stop that. Not gonna put my hands on you. You all see my hands are nowhere near them, and I have told them to stop. All right, I'm gonna go.
That's it. That's all you can do.
Because if you put your hands on them, then that's legal repercussions, and the union tells you not to do it, and the administrators tell you not to do it. So, because the union goes, but if something happens to you, you're not protected. And I'm like, but they're beating each other down.
Mm-hmm.
This does not seem right.
That's
because wasn't that part of your job when you were in that classroom? Was, you know, you had these kids that would get a little violent and you would handle it.
I wasn't allowed to put my hands on them though, apparently, but that's not something they told me till after the fact. But I also was not allowed to call the principal when I was having issues because I was bothering her too much. And I was not given a phone in the classroom anyways, or any way to get a hold of security if there was a problem. Like, they no phone, no walkie, no nothing. So if something happened, all I could do was stand in the hallway and yell, hey! And hope someone came along.
Wow.
And that is generally how it's like for all of the self-contained behavior school or behavior classrooms, is they're put in that room way far away from the principal's office so that they don't have to hear from them. And if some higher up important person comes through and tours the school, there's less of a chance of them seeing something.
Okay.
And all right, so I have a question. What, I mean, how many parents try to get involved and change this shit or do any? I mean,
we don't see parents. Like, you can call parents, but most of the phone numbers you have for students don't work. So trying to get parent involvement is very difficult. Like, I mean, I remember open houses and things like that where you could talk to students about their grades, but I remember a parent coming in and yelling at me because I was failing their kid, and I was just like, well, here's their folder and here's all their work. They haven't done any of it. If he does his work, he can pass. I give it to him every day. Like, the one school I worked at, a parent came in, apparently got through security and everything, no one stopped them, and went straight to the classroom next to me and started just yelling and threatening the teacher for failing their student or their kid. And no one, they're all like, we have no idea how this parent got through. And I'm just like, you know, you have someone at the door. How did you let this person through?
Wow. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So you're not getting any parent involvement, and it sounds, you know, from the stories you've told, it sounds like the longer that you're in the district, the less likely you are to give a shit.
Yes.
So what is it going to take to change things?
Well, you know, they're sitting there going, charter schools aren't going to be what's going to do it, because, you know, giving parents the choice. But if the charter schools, like, Cleveland's going out of their way to not lose kids, so they're going to open their own charter schools and open their own, or turn their schools into a version of charter schools. And like Cleveland believes the right way to get rid of it is to get rid of the union that's protecting teachers. Hmm. And it does amaze me when, like, coming from there and hearing the teachers in Cleveland talking about charter schools and how horrible they are. Like, they are evil and they're stealing the kids and they're all crappy. And I'm just like, but they're not. I mean, there are a lot of crappy ones. And the laws in Ohio about charter schools are very shady, because you can open a charter school and, like, as long as you follow the laws, but the people in charge of auditing the school could be your own company. So you can start a nonprofit that, you know, audits charter schools, and have your nonprofit that was pre-existing audit your charter school that you opened up.
That's ridiculous.
And that's why you end up with, like, there was the one school in Ohio that I think it was by Dayton that had, like, on their roster was like 430 students, and when the state came in to look, there was 30 students in the building. Or, you know, the online schools that say they have 100% attendance. They send them a computer, it's 100% attendance. They're there. All they have to do is log in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a friend of mine is, he's doing his final year, you know, senior year of high school. And I mean, like, he does his work and stuff, but, like, when he doesn't want to, like, do the work at that time, he just logs in and goes, does whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
You know, like, that's all it takes.
But. Right. So they have 100% attendance, but. What was it? The news story I saw was like the average person on an online school loses 72 days a year in science and reading based on how much the actual work they do.
Yeah.
And in math, they lose 180 days. And a school year is 180 days.
Yeah.
Which means they're just not doing anything on the online schools. But, you know, Cleveland's whole thought with it is, if we control the charter schools, then we won't lose the kids, and that's just going to make probably parents move out of Cleveland and say that they're living somewhere else.
Wow.
I think East Cleveland's got more money than that. And what was it, East Cleveland, they were saying on the radio, they're broke. Like, I think they have to choose if they're going to have a fire department or a police department.
Tough choice. I mean, putting out fires is important, but, you know.
So, but I think their schools still actually have pretty good funding, and I think their schools are actually pretty good in East Cleveland. So maybe if you have, like, a program in one of the schools where you train firefighters and police officers, and you just have the students go out, that'll save East Cleveland right there.
There you go.
I think not having cops in East Cleveland might save East Cleveland.
Well,
it's not like they wouldn't have cops. They just would have to get them from Cleveland.
That's
or neighboring cities.
That's insane. That's fucking crazy.
It amazes me. Like,
that's where my taxes go.
Yes.
This is what my taxes pay for.
It amazes me. Like, I've worked in a whole bunch of charter schools and, like, learned about them and, like, what was it? White Hat Management was, like, the big one that got indicted, and the people that ran that left and started a new company. Like, when they were getting indicted, they left and started a new company in Florida, and then when that one started doing well, they then created a new name and opened up schools in Ohio.
Oh,
run by the same people that
so nothing got done.
And the company they started in Florida is also being indicted.
Oh. Well, all right.
Because they stole funds, but it's weird in Florida because all the funds you get are supposed to stay in that school because it's all, like, county-wide.
Mm.
So if you move, and they had schools in different counties, and they moved stuff they bought from one school to another school, and that's technically stealing from the county.
Mm.
And that's what they got in trouble for.
Okay, so that's kind of like a minor crime in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, I was listening to these news stories. They're talking about these charter schools that go out of business 6 weeks after opening and things like that. That was my favorite. I told you that one. They called Ohio the Wild West of charter.
Yes.
Of the charter schools.
It's the Wild West. Well, and it's
The other great quote was, Ohio is lucky they have Nevada so that they are not the worst.
Yeah.
Nevada's worse.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, I don't know. Is the fact that, Cleveland has terrible schools going really dissuade young parents from, you know, moving into the area scaring people out?
I think it is. I think the news stories are scaring people out. I don't think any of the charter schools, Cleveland schools, all of them, none of them have bad teachers. None of them have, like, they want to be there and they want to do their job. And if the kids are there, they do take, like, I've never seen a teacher just go, you know what, I'm just not going to do anything. Like, they are trying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of there's so much politics involved. They need to take the politics out of it. Like, charter schools, in theory, are there for a reason. Because, you like how I talk with my hands on the radio? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in theory, they're there for a reason, because they're there to, give parents choice. And when they started, I don't know when the first charter schools were, they were a completely alternative way of running a school. It was either the feely version, where everyone's a family and everybody helps each other, which is a different way of running a school, or it was the strict, by the books, very, like, you send your kid to a charter school because you want them to be in an even more strict thing. So it like military school was the idea behind charter schools when they started, or they would have like a student with behavior problems and they would do better in a less structured environment, and that's the hippie schools, and those were around in the 70s.
Right.
But those were that was the idea behind when they started charter schools. But there's so many like flaws in the way they're run, and there's too many ways to just take money. Like, it doesn't make sense. And to create separate laws, I think they really need to clean house, but then who, you know, they need to do that for government in general.
Right. I agree.
that's what Trump's going to do, because he's such a great businessman.
He's going to drain the swamp, dude.
Yeah. He's such a great businessman. He's going to fix everything.
He's going to drain the swamp. And,
it's Obamacare. That's the problem.
It's the big problem, man. Yeah. I just got approved.
I have to actually get approved again, since I just lost my job.
So. Oh, boy.
They said I make too much money to be approved for Medicaid again. I'm like, how is that possible? I make dog shit money.
Right, but. And that's my problem too, is they said I made too much money to have my kids be on Medicaid, but now that I am unemployed, I should be making right around the right amount of money, so.
Yeah.
So but I'll then get
you have to get back in to see your caseworker now.
Right, which, that, you know, the plus side is, since I live in not Cuyahoga County.
Yeah, that's a little easier.
I can see my caseworker. Like, there's not as many people in my county, so you know, I went through Cuyahoga County, and there's different buildings everywhere. Mm. There's like six, and you know, in my county, there's like one building, and there's farms leading up to it. And you're just like, this is great. Like, you walk in to see your caseworker, they're like, you know, I don't have anything going on today. I can see you. That's fine. Mm. You're just like, this is awesome. I should have gotten out of Cuyahoga County a long time ago.
I mean, it was a lot easier for me to get seen in Summit when I lived there.
Right.
Even that was a pain in the ass, because you had to go all day.
Yeah. Well, I learned I can't give blood anymore, so.
Oh,
I don't have that way of getting money anymore, so that waste of a day isn't there. Yeah. I guess I can waste a day fighting with Medicaid and trying to get coverage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is for all you. I don't know what's going to happen now that they're trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, because the Medicaid expansion is going away with that. So, you know, it used to be, if you were a man with no disabilities and no chronic conditions, you were not getting Medicaid, period. That's just what it is.
But I have a disability.
You do.
So I didn't you know might be, I had a disability.
You might be fine, but for those of you out there that are listening, like, this is something you should do if you want to get health care. Like,
to while get a disability?
No. You
chop it off. I need Medicaid. Come on.
Because the Medicaid...
I was holding my arm out for anybody listening.
Yeah. Fraggle does a lot of talking with his hands. But you go to...
I just wanted people to know which Muppet. Part I was holding out. I'm not holding out other products in or other parts of my body into your face, no matter how much you want me to.
Well, I mean, those days are over, Fraggle.
Not sleeping on your couch anymore.
No, and I'm not sleeping on yours. This is what you do if you want to get Medicaid right now. Most hospitals, if you're in the Cleveland area, Metro Health, I know, does this. This is why I still have Medicaid. They have a financial counselor's office. You make an appointment to go see the financial counselor, and they get you approved for their own system of financial aid. Part of that is they will apply you for Medicaid. And for some reason, that application process takes a lot less time than it does for you to go through the casework.
That's what happened with me when I broke my arm.
Yeah.
Like that, I woke up, and that guy was fucking waiting there for me. He's like, all right, I need you. He goes, I'm going to take some information, sign this. He goes, we'll be in touch. Mm-hmm. And it was like some third-party company that got me fucking Medicaid.
Yeah.
And he was, and like, I called them now. It's like, I asked him, I was like, yeah, they're sending me bills for the ambulance. He goes, don't worry about it. Don't respond to it. We'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Okay, cool. Thank you.
My hope is I can get on it quickly and they'll take care of all my other bills from my daughter's going back to September when they first told me on the Obamacare website that my daughter's counted. Like that I made enough money, but apparently I still make too much money even to have my daughters on there. Mm. Oh, because I included my son, who doesn't technically live with me.
Oh, man.
So it's complex. Like, I guess I'm right on that borderline.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And luckily I'm well below it
now. We got super
now.
Political tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I'm sorry. Should I have sworn and said cunt and fuck more? Or
you just nailed it. Yeah. You did it a little bit at the beginning, and, you know, you're good. You're good.
Cunt, fuck, motherfucker. What are the other ones?
No, this is super fucking interesting, though. Like, it just, that, like. It, like you said, it's like a landmine. It's like it's just like a fucking war zone where it's like, have at it. If you get hired, hope you get out.
Right.
Like, that's so fucked.
I do have to add, I have a lot of friends that work for Cleveland Schools now. And I think the point that has to be made again that Fraggle made earlier is that there are a lot of good teachers in Cleveland Schools.
Right.
And this is not their fault.
And I feel bad when someone comes up to me and they're just like, so... I want to work for Cleveland Schools. What do you think? And I sit there and go, no, don't do it. Work at any other like district that really needs teachers right now, but don't go into the politics. I mean, they do need teachers in Cleveland, but they need teachers in every district because the feelings towards teachers has changed over the years. Like it used to be where you got like teacher discounts everywhere. And you know, they're like, you should use this in your classroom. And then it became, well, these kids are failing and it's all the teacher's fault.
Yeah.
Why did you fail my kid? Because they didn't do any work.
Yeah. I mean, like that's just like, that is just something that's always boggled my mind. Like parents, like when they defend their children, and I'm sure there are cases where there's an asshole fucking teacher.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure that, you know, that's very much a possibility. But like, when a kid knows he's not doing his fucking work, and then he brings home a report card with an F, and you say, oh well, why did you get an F? The teacher doesn't like me. Okay, then I'm gonna go talk to the teacher. Why are you failing my kid? Are you fucking kidding me? It's not like, it's very fucking black and white in that instance. Like, he didn't do anything. I can't give him a passing grade if he
like my favorite anything. I've heard from kids is, well, that teacher doesn't know how to teach. And I was just like,
and you do?
And I'm just like, you do realize telling me that as a teacher is never gonna work,
right?
Like, that teacher doesn't know how, well, what did they do that they didn't know how to teach? They keep, you know, they don't give me time to catch up with my work. Why didn't you
are
do
you during your work in the allotted time given to you?
Did you say something when you first weren't done with the work? Well, no, I was just going to give myself more time. Well, there you go. Like, you can't make up your own deadlines, you know? Yeah. It's not hard. Like, you want to pass, tell all my students you want to pass, just do the work. I'm pretty laid back in my classroom. Like, you do the work, I don't bother you a lot, except, you know, no dealing drugs in my classroom. If you're going to do it outside.
Get out. Well, Fraggle, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Cleveland Public Schools with us. It was a pleasure having you on.
Oh, they're going to figure out it was me. Every job I apply to, they're going to be like, hey, you're from that famous podcast.
That good. Famous podcast that 60 people listen to. Yeah.
I love that everybody I mentioned I was doing this. Year. Is that a good idea to be doing right now when you're job hunting?
I don't give a fuck.
I'm like, you know, if the HR department from whatever random school listens to this show, they are probably awesome enough that they will just hire me anyways.
That is true.
Because who knows what they had to go through to find this show, like the HR department in, I don't know, like Sandusky or whatever. Like, how did you find random podcast?
Hey, if you're a, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're if you know of any jobs, shoot us a line at thehateflow@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us
for
know.
Fraggle.
Yeah, we need to get Fraggle some work. He's got a family to feed. Before we go, we have to shout out to everybody we can. We're on the Lousy Weather Media Network. You can check out the main show. The Unbelievables are on the network now. Fellow Sad Boy and Mike Calhoun's podcast. The Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. Listen While You Can. Chris is starting to regret his podcasting. At least with us.
Right.
And so many other great shows on the network. I Can't Read, the wrestling show, of course, the main show. Shout out to Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can find her on the Instagram, @SamHolmes. That's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like you hang out with. And, of course, Rain Clothing, our sponsor, RANEclothing.com. Excuse me. On a mission for music.
Check them out.
Yeah. And, of course, Pete, Milky Way Recordings. We're here every week because he's the best. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Cleveland Public Schools as much as the Dark Muppet.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling out my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.